I'm going to read from Matthew chapter 27 from verse 15. Now at the feast, the governor was accustomed to releasing to the multitude one prisoner whom they wished. And at that time they had a notorious prisoner called Barabbas. Therefore, when they had gathered together, Pilate said to them, "Whom do you want me to release to you, Barabbas or Jesus, who is called Christ?" For he knew that they had handed him over because of envy. While he was sitting on the judgment seat, his wife sent to him, saying, "Have nothing to do with that just man, for I have suffered many things today in a dream because of him." But the chief priests and elders persuaded the multitudes that they should ask for Barabbas and destroy Jesus. The governor answered and said to them, "Which of the two do you want me to release to you?" They said, "Barabbas." Pilate said to them, "What then shall I do with Jesus, who is called Christ?" They all said to him, "Let him be crucified." Then the governor said, "Why? What evil has he done?" But they cried out all the more, saying, "Let him be crucified." When Pilate saw that he could not prevail at all, but rather that a tumult was rising, he took water and washed his hands before the multitude, saying, "I am innocent of the blood of this just person. You see to it." And the people answered and said, "His blood be on us and on our children." The person I'd like us to consider this evening is the wife of Pontius Pilate. There is a tradition that she's called Julia. We don't know that though from the text. So Pilate's wife, we don't know very much about her at all. She's probably not very happy any time being in Jerusalem, the Roman capital, as it were, of Judea was Caesarea. It was laid out according to Roman town planning. It was by the sea, and you had fewer Jewish hotheads there. But from time to time, the great festivals, the Roman prefect or governor was well advised to leave behind the comfort of Caesarea and go to Jerusalem, because if there was any unrest, he could be there to handle it himself, because he was responsible to the emperor for making sure that the people there were very much in check. So Pilate and his wife have taken the journey inland to go to Jerusalem, and they're probably occupying an apartment in the Antonia Fortress right next to the temple. It was very secure, but it probably wasn't very comfortable. But they're not planning to stay very long. As soon as the Passover is over, they can return when all the crowds and the multitudes have cleared off. And in one respect, her husband, Pilate, is doing what he normally does. He's judging, he's determining, he's hearing, having a few people executed, perhaps releasing one or two. But she, of course, is not part of that. She is in the apartment, perhaps minding her own business, but she sends him a message. It would seem that he receives the message in the middle of the deliberations. I think while she is speaking to him, the Judean aristocracy are speaking to the crowd to make sure they choose the right person to be released. So in verse 19, we're told, while he was sitting on the judgment seat, so there is an urgency about what she says to him. She couldn't wait. She had to tell him there and then. While he was on the judgment seat, his wife sent to him, presumably a note, maybe via a servant, "Have nothing to do with that just man, for I have suffered many things today in a dream because of him." Very intriguing. What does her husband say in response? Probably nothing. who's there in public, on the stage, as it were, on the judgment seat. He can't very well go back home and have a little chat with her. Does she sleep during the day? Or was this some kind of vision? Again, not too clear. We're not even clear what she's seen. But we know that she's suffered. It has not been pleasant for her. I don't think she's a shrinking violet. She's quite used to the fact that her husband is a tough character. He has a reputation for dealing with rebels and dealing with them rather quickly. I don't suspect she had dreams about them. She's probably a very patriotic Roman. She's not troubled by colonialism. But this man troubles her. She has suffered. And the conclusion she has drawn is to urge her husband to have nothing to do with him. When Pilate got that message, I imagine he thought, it's my job. How do I get out of it? She doesn't understand what I do. Though that might be why we read in verse 24 that Pilate goes through this act of washing his hands. It might be as a response to his wife's dream. The Romans were a superstitious folk, and they believed that, for them of course, the gods revealed things to them in dreams, and the interpreters of dreams made a good living in Rome. They weren't really a people to do with scriptures, which is partly why I think the Romans always struggled to understand the Jews. But here a dream has come to a woman who's been brought up to believe that divine beings communicate via dreams. And we know that there are occasions in scripture when God has communicated via a dream. And the question we must ask is, who sent her the dream? Is this a ploy of Satan to try and prevent the Lord Jesus Christ going to the cross? He's already tried it through Peter. And yet I don't think, have a record of Satan communicating to people through dreams. The more likely explanation is that the dream was from God. He has communicated to people that way. He does so several times in the Gospels, but he does also to pagans. Nebuchadnezzar has a dream. Pharaoh, at the time of Joseph, has a dream. Mrs. Pilate is unlikely to go to the synagogue and hear the scriptures expounded. And those expounding them, I don't think, understand them, because if they did, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. I suspect the dream came from God. But why? Why would God send her that dream? There is often a tension in scripture between the sovereignty of God and the responsibility of man. We know it was God's will, it was part of his redemptive plan, that God the Son be condemned and crucified. It had to happen. But at the same time, Pilate was a free agent and must take responsibility for what he did. And on his watch, an innocent man, a just man, a man who has broken no Roman law, is condemned. The Jews, of course, wanted to condemn him for blasphemy, but that wasn't a Roman crime. Treason was a Roman crime. They accuse him of being king of the Jews. But actually, Herod Antipas claimed to be king of the Jews. So it wasn't a crime even to have that claim. And Matthew makes it clear that, Pilate is aware they're condemning him because of envy. The Pharisees resent the authority he has when he teaches. The chief priests who control the temple don't like this man who has access to the Father without them. They're envious of him. So I think the dream in part is to cause Pilate to become aware of his own moral failings as a ruler, as a leader. As Psalm 2 indicates, he is responsible for how he behaves and he will be held accountable. Perhaps the message of have nothing to do with the just man is don't allow yourself, dear husband, to be led by the crowd and the elders who can't stand him, who hate him. He is a just man. She's a pagan. She has little understanding of the law of God except that which is written on her heart. But she understands the difference between right and wrong, between that which is fair and that which is unfair. This man is innocent. And you, husband, are you really going to play a part in his condemnation? Again, I refer to that tension. What they did to Jesus Christ was wicked and sinful, and yet God knew it would happen, and God used it and employed it for our redemption. But they were still wrong. They crucified the Lord of glory. Why else send her the dream? Well, I think here we have an anticipation of Pentecost, but also the apostolic mission. Already, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob is revealing himself to Gentiles, to non-Jews, to pagans, to the heathen, to the idolaters. There is an early church tradition that this woman was converted. We don't know. We may meet her one day, or we may see her on the other side at the judgment. We don't know. But God is making it clear that even in the hearts of Roman government, just as later on Paul will address a greeting to those of Caesar's household, the Lord is working. And that Abraham would not just father a physical people, but his descendants would be like the sand on the seashore. People like us. I also wonder if God sent her that dream to make her understand this is not just a normal trial. If God, the Son, is going to become the sin bearer and not just bear the physical agony of crucifixion, but the spiritual terror of God's wrath, and that God the Father would behold God the Son besmirched with our sin, then this woman is being given a foretaste. Of what the suffering servant will endure on her behalf. Notice she doesn't name him. Have nothing to do with that just man. I don't think for one moment Pilate thought, oh, I wonder if she means Barabbas. Barabbas was a vile creature. And if she wanted to persuade her husband to let Jesus go, she failed. the unjust man, Barabbas, walk scot-free? And that the just man, the righteous man, the fair man, the good man, is condemned as a criminal? And when the day was over, she must have, did she scold him? I told you, I warned you. But there, of course, is the gospel. Jesus Christ condemned that we might be forgiven. We, like Barabbas, walking free because he was bound. We living because he died. I hope Pilate's wife was indeed converted. I hope he was. He was a tough character. But the Lord is able to take tough characters and pagan women and stubborn high priests and criminal thugs. And because of what Jesus did upon that cross, forgive them, change them, heal them, and one day receive them. Amen.